This is WABF, and it's time now for Foodie Friday and Food for Thought, brought to you by Fairhope Living Magazine and Miss Elodia Arnold.
Hey, good morning. So glad to be here on this cold and rainy Friday morning.
Yes, indeed. And I want to emphasize Foodie Friday is the first Friday of each month.
That's right.
And then the ensuing Fridays are Food for Thought.
Yep, that's right. So Foodie Friday, we talk with one of our local restaurant owners. And then the rest of the month, we talk about the hot topics of the day. So for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the planning and zoning issue that we have right now, where we're, you know, thinking about, should we zone District 8 and District 37, or should we allow that to remain unzoned? And it's really a catch-22. If we leave it unzoned, then we leave ourselves open and vulnerable for any type of development to come in.
And such as the Lawrence Road apartment complex, which was one of the issues that spurred this drive.
That's correct, yes. So over the last couple of, 18 months or so, we've had several different areas that have elected to go through the zoning process and have the vote, you know, for that. The first area was District 19, which was down along the bayfront. And, you know, that happened back in 2020, right after Sally came through. They were able to pull enough people together to get the vote, and they moved forward with that area. That then prompted some communications and some interest in the community for District 8 to move forward. And Clarice Hallblack led the charge for that area and pulled together enough votes to have District 8 come up for a vote for zoning. And then District 37, which was spurred by the Lawrence Road, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we know, all of us know, Lori, you especially, because you are here watching the front lines every day, just how fast Fairhope is growing. And if you really do want to have a say-so in what happens with your area, if you're not in the city limits, then absolutely you need to think about whether or not you should be zoned. The reason I'm so passionate, I had the opportunity to live in Pensacola for several years. And if all you have to do is take a short 45-minute drive to see what true growth can be like without any zoning in place.
Mm-hmm.
So while I was in Pensacola, I had worked for personal injury attorney Bob Kerrigan. He's a phenomenal man, very interesting. But we had an environmental case that I assisted on where a company had formed and they shredded cars. And they found an area in the county that was unfortunately right in the middle of a very low-income area, and they purchased land and they put this machine there that shredded cars. Well, it shook the ground for 3 miles around.
Whoa.
And it shook all of these people's homes off of their foundations.
Wow.
It put this horrible dust in the air, and those people were unable to do anything about it because they were all from low income. And that was a very intentional selection of that company in that site. And that's just something that we really all need to think about. You know, we don't know what's happening outside of our area. We tend to live in our little Fairhope, Baldwin County bubble. We know that people are coming here, but we don't know, you know, what's driving them. Why are they coming here? So on Martin Luther King Day, had the opportunity to sit down with Abe Harper of Harper Technologies. And Abe is a phenomenal gentleman, just very intelligent. He actually is sitting on the board for several different committees for Governor Kay Ivey. So he's on the Alabama Innovation Commission, as well as the Innovate Alabama Corporation now. He also sits on the Alabama Minority Commission as well. So we had a good talk with Abe on Martin Luther King Day, and I think we're going to hear that now.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone. This is Food for Thought, and we are actually pre-recording this morning with Abe Harper. Abe is a good friend, and really glad to have him here. Abe, you are originally from, now your ancestors, I believe, are from the Montrose area.
That's right. And I think, first of all, thank you for having me here this morning.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, I've got family from Baldwin County and Mobile County, Montrose, Fairhope, and Pritchard.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Well, Abe, the reason I asked you to come on today to talk with us, and I do want to just give a little shout out. We are pre-recording, and I'm happy to have you here on MLK, Martin Luther King Day.
That's right.
We have come a long way since Dr. King made his first stand for civil rights, and really thankful just to honor him on this day and being looking forward to the future. You know, how can we help Alabama move forward in a very positive way? How can we have some of these conversations that we really need to have?
Right.
And Abe, tell me a little bit about your background. So you were with Harper Technologies.
Yeah, so Harper Tech is a company my brother and I founded about 19 years ago. 2002, 2003, the date is somewhere in there. We're IT geeks. We fix computers, we manage networks, we install infrastructure. That's kind of our bread and butter. But anyone that knows the Harper family knows that we're very passionate too about community efforts and initiatives. And, you know, it is a privilege to be here and be doing community work on Dr. King's Day.
Absolutely.
Right? That's what the purpose of his dream was for each one of us to represent our community and to do things in a certain manner that lifted the whole of the community, not just ourselves. So, our family goal is really kind of the same. My brother and myself, our parents, our sister, that's to try and find ways to leave things a little better than we found them.
That's right. That's right.
You know,
that's
try to be good stewards of where we are and what we get to do. I am married to Audra. I have two beautiful daughters and one handsome son. And my guilty pleasures and obsessions are flying, automotive work, and fishing. So, you know, that's kind of me in a nutshell.
Yep, that's enough to keep you busy. You also have a side job where you travel up to our great capital a couple of times a month, or tell me a little bit more.
Almost once a week right now.
Oh my goodness.
I wouldn't really call it a side job. It's kind of its own 40 hour a week thing. But that's a lot of fun, working on different committees and commissions for the governor.
That's right.
Being able to spend time in our state's capital, seeing things that are developing around the state.
Yeah. So Governor Ivey most recently appointed you on the committee for the entrepreneur.
It was a two-part initiative. It was the Alabama Innovation Commission, which there were a group of us that served on that to write a report with regard to how the state could improve opportunities and innovation, and then a subsequent appointment to the Alabama Innovation Corporation, which was a byproduct of the commission, and it is a public-private partnership that'll be allowed to help take some of the initiatives forward that the commission recommended.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to hearing a little bit more about that in the future from you.
Absolutely.
But one of the reasons I wanted to speak with you today is, in learning about your work with the state, I realized that you would have a really good perspective for the zoning issue that we are facing here in Baldwin County, specifically with District 8, District 37, and the district down in Seminole that are going to be coming up for vote on February 15th. So can you give us a little bit of insight from a state perspective with the initiatives that you are working on? I believe that you're going to be doing some work to bring assistance to the areas that are unzoned in the county right now. Tell us a little bit, how does that work? I mean, when you're looking at what to do with these unzoned areas, what are the things that your group of individuals will look at?
So, you know, when we talk zoning, it's kind of like we talked a little bit off air about it. It invokes a myriad of emotions with people, right?
Absolutely.
Because we are inherently used to having certain freedoms and liberties. When you attach zoning to that, you now attach several things, one of which being representation, one being accountability, one being regulation. And, you know, for the sentiment of emotion that it evokes, it depends on what side of the fence you're on and what liberties and what expectations you have for where you are currently. It has a host of benefits as well as some setbacks depending on how you look at it. At the state level, and of course I can kind of speak for what the report says and what our goals are from the initiative, our strategic target is to enhance rural broadband, accessibility, affordability, and utilization of internet infrastructure, and as we call it, you know, the digital initiatives.
Okay, excellent.
There's been all kinds of surveys and studies that link medical care, education, and wealth to availability of digital assets. And similarly, that link poverty to inaccessibility of those same digital assets. So a lot of the markets and a lot of the areas that the corporation kind of looked at, should I say the commission looked at prior to the corporation, were areas that historically had underserved community for digital broadband. Internet speeds in excess of 25x3, for example.
Right.
So that's kind of the mark of what we're looking for currently with regard to zoned versus unzoned or disconnected communities. We're looking for rural. They can be either, but realistically rural is the key identifier.
Okay, that makes sense to me. So in talking about why an area would want to be zoned, and if they choose to move forward with zoning, as they're looking at the future, what are the things that an area would need to think about? You know, with District 8 and District 37, if they move forward with zoning, they'll have five individuals that will be able to help with the zoning implementation. But I know that you actually worked over in Mobile County, and you helped with the rezoning or permitting of areas in Mobile County that had changed over time. So what are some things that we need to think about here in Baldwin County so that we don't have to rechange our zoning in time? You know, what are the things we can think about in the future?
Well, I think as a region grows, I think it's inevitable that it's going to have to be rezoned or reevaluated or changed. I think change equates to healthy growth. On the Mobile side, I did have the privilege of serving on the technical advisory committee for the zoning rewrite. It's been a few years ago. It was a lot of fun because what we were doing is looking at areas that had shifted in their utilization or their demographic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, areas that were previously zoned for commercial use or heavy industrial that are now light industrial, or areas that may have been zoned for single family that are now multi-dwelling or multi-use. And with that, we learn from the mistakes that we've made in the past, right? Such as planting the wrong types of arbors around areas of egress and ingress, or putting the wrong type of infrastructure underneath.
Oh, wow.
Such as plumbing or the conduits that your telecommunications or your electrical are enclosed in, because all of that over time has a wear component.
Of course. That makes sense.
So, you know, for an area thinking about coming in and voting to be zoned as part of annexed or included into a district, you got to think about the representation that's there for you. The person that is representing your district or your area.
Right.
Usually zoning comes with some type of a plan or master plan.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that there is a long range reach for development, as well as a build out model for including some type of equitable growth in that area.
Okay.
And of course there's always the tax piece. With representation comes taxation.
Exactly.
I mean, it's part of our DNA in America, unfortunately, at all levels. I say unfortunately, but it has its benefits because that allows for infrastructure improvement when used appropriately and so on and so forth. So, for a district that is to be zoned, that's currently unzoned, it changes some of the stipulations of what can be built, where it can be built, and how the permitting process for that looks. Now, as sticky as that may sound, it also helps to set a baseline for what the expectations are for the residual value for properties and owners in that area.
But based on what you just went through over in Mobile County, just because an area goes into zoning and certain regulations and rules are put into place, it doesn't mean that that's how it's always going to be.
Correct.
That you will, have an opportunity if you don't like how something is set up in the beginning and at the baseline, you can then down the road change it. Is that right?
That's right. And there's a little thing that we talk about a lot with regard to zoning called variances. So, you know, if there's an outside property or an outside effect where someone wants to be, you're sitting in the middle of a predominantly residential area, and right. you want to have a duplex, which, you know, has maybe a small retail space in it or something to that effect, you can apply where the zoning laws are written properly for a variance.
Okay.
And you can still qualify to put that in there, and there's grandfathering, which is if something exists currently, they can't force you to come in and change everything immediately unless, you know, there's some egregious reason for doing that. So I think a lot of the fear factor that's driven on it is the unknown of, you know, hey, if it's zoned this way today, can it be this way forever? Now, you're not going to go and get, you know, a residential community to go heavy industrial where you can put an airport in it. Right. Very unlikely. But in a big enough property acquisition, there can be a variance to allow for that still.
So what if they choose to not zone? You know, what are they leaving themselves open to if the area, you know, votes to not have any zoning put into place?
So it would depend on the neighboring infrastructure. You know, a lot of times it's a factor of public safety, because some of the tax dollars go into public safety.
Okay.
So that you are now pulled under a bigger umbrella or a bigger veil. The land use and its ownership is now more more unregulated in how it can be developed. I own some property in a rural area, which, you know, the housing in that area goes everything from basically a canvas and three sticks to you know, multi-million dollar homes.
Wow.
And it's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, there's room for consideration for, you know, what's the baseline and what's the normal expectation. You know, you have to have a very specific purpose for looking to be in an unzoned area, but also it gives you a lot of civil freedoms that you wouldn't otherwise have if there's restrictions or covenants or zoning laws against certain things that could be done. So, you know, if I wanted to have a farm and land airplanes on it,
you can do that.
I can do that, but I wouldn't want to do that in a light use residential or, you know, other space that's unzoned for it.
Mm-hmm. But with the way that Baldwin County is growing, and I know that on the state level that you are probably watching Baldwin County very closely, we have an opportunity right now to put some zoning in place and have some plans. You know, if we don't do that and we don't have that opportunity, then who knows what could come in, right?
Yeah, and I think that's long been the narrative. I think if Baldwin County's watching the areas that are doing it well, namely Charlotte, Charleston, Austin, Arlington, you know, Jacksonville suburbs, if we're looking at areas that have gone through explosive, high volume, rapid growth, we're looking to see what they did right. And a key component to that is going to be, it may not be pushing back against zoning as much as it is saying we're going to give ourselves the agility in the zoning and any annexation that's done to create an opportunity path to modify this with fairly short notice. We've all, you know, those of us that have lived here, we've all seen how rapidly our county and our region is growing.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I kind of cater to the belief that if you're not growing, you're dying. So we want to keep the growth at a healthy pace. We want it to be intentional, but we also want it to be manageable.
Absolutely.
We want it to be something that's relevant for the area.
Now, what are some of the things that we can look at to include, based on your experience in looking at other cities, that we can do to be more inclusive so we can make sure that all of our all of the individuals in Baldwin County are represented and that they're all taken care of and we aren't excluding any particular group of residents here?
Yeah, so a lot of that really comes to how the narrative of the zoning is sewn in. There is, you know, in past experiences for me, it's been a factor of even being the representation to certain business community segments. Because my availability to participate doesn't mean that I speak on everyone's behalf. But what it does mean is that I can extend to them, hey, this is where we're going. This is what we're doing. This is what's being recommended. My door's open. So you've got to have some community citizens mm-hmm. and some partners that are willing to be that go-between between the legs of law that create the opportunity and the citizens that are included into what might happen. Media broadcast is a great way, you know, make sure that it hits different paths and different airways. You know, we live in a very active Sunday morning
yes.
community.
Yes,
so, you know, notification to churches is not out of the way. And allowing the churches in our area to propagate or perpetuate the narrative of what's, you know, what's transpiring, and then opening the floor for opportunities for conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, one of the things we talked about off the air that I thought was relevant to this topic is the fact that on the state level, as the state is trying to make decisions about different allocation of funds in different area, the state really does need to have the opportunity to have better information from the counties. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I think there's been a lot of conversation at the state level about data sharing.
Okay.
That's the terminology that gets used, and I've heard it in different rooms and conversations. And I think that there may have even been a legislator or two to propose a data sharing act as of the last session, not this current session, but our last legislative session. So, you know, there's, I think as we kind of build an inroads for technology in Alabama, mm-hmm. there's a, I don't call it a deficiency yet, because I don't think we have the processes in place, but there's not a lot of information that gets passed from one jurisdiction and venue to the next. That's a key component to seeing success across a region.
Right.
You know, you can have an individual area succeed, but that area be its own unicorn, so to speak. When you're talking about regional success or statewide success, the more you know about the, it's just like your home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to have a very successful dinner party, you want to know where all your plates are, you want to know where all your cups are, you want to know where all your silverware is. You want to have things in an accessible place. But you know, if you've got a buffet downstairs that has five or six plates and it's something hidden in the attic that's got two or three, your next door neighbor's got half of your cookware, your dinner party is not going to be a great success.
No, and you're going to spend the most of your time just trying to find
the information you need.
Exactly. And then you can't make a very good decision. The
Correct.
More information you have, the better a decision you can make.
Right, right. So that's been one of Alabama's objectives. And I think it's one of our biggest opportunities, honestly. Everything from workforce development all the way to economic mm-hmm. development to environmental development. We have the information. That's the crazy thing, right? Like the information is there. It's just disjunct. So there's been a lot of effort put to how do we unify these systems where we know if a business is registered for these subsets of skills in this market and they would qualify in another market as well.
That makes sense. That makes perfect sense. And that does go back into, you know, what happens in the county and why the county is so important. You know, we are a state and we do all work together. We are all connected. And being able to share information and help move, you know, Baldwin County could definitely be a great example for how we can move forward in the state.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I think as our county's growth has shown time and time again, we have the resources and we have the marketability to really be relevant. How we handle that is going to determine how the rest of the state looks at us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I wanted to thank you again so much for coming in today. And I definitely look forward to talking with you again in the future about the initiatives that you're working on the state side. Do you have anything else you'd like to add in reference to the zoning?
I don't. I just appreciate the opportunity to be here and chat a little bit and get to hang out. And definitely call me if I can do anything to be of any assistance.
Absolutely. Thank you again. Well, we are Thanks. Here with Abe Harper. And Abe, you are with Harper Technologies. And thank you again for coming on Food for Thought today.
Thanks.
What a very impressive young man.
Absolutely. We are fortunate to have him working for us on the state level as well as locally. Mm-hmm. So it was really a really interesting and eye-opening interview for sure. And I would have to say, it doesn't really, no matter whether or not you want, our county is obviously growing and we need to stand up and have our voices heard. And I feel strongly that the opportunity to vote either for or against the zoning for District 37 or District 8, depending on if you live in those areas, that's your chance to really have your voice heard.
And that's February 15th.
That is going to be February 15th, okay. Correct. So if you have any questions about either of those, you can reach out to the county or you can look up District 8 is for zoning on their Facebook page, as well as Save Lawrence Road as a Facebook page as well. So you can check into those two areas.
Okay.
All right. So we look forward to talking with you guys again next week on Food for Thought. And that wraps up our show regarding the zoning and planning of Baldwin County.
Thank you so much. Food for Thought, brought to you by Fairhope Living Magazine with your hostess, Elodia Arnold. Thank you, Elodia. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Lori.
This program and all of our other talk shows will be posted at WABF1480.com. If you have not had an opportunity to hear the whole show, or you would like to tell a friend, WABF now resuming regular programming.